This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the power of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, so I got this parachute up here. I don't know if you noticed it, any of you that came in the side door, but we've got a big, big parachute here, and we're going to attempt something that I know we can accomplish, and we've got quite a big crowd, and that's a good thing, but we can still accomplish this, and I've asked Daryl Ashmore and Dee, if she's, I see her in the back, if you would come forward, please, and Daryl, if you would take the very end of it over there, way at the end, and Dee, if you would take this one, and I'm going to need 11 people from this side, and 11 people from that side, and the handles at the very end. Oh, over here, yep, because I've got the handles ready. Yeah, yes, ma'am. You get to go behind the altar, that's right. Oh, not that one. Okay, now, leave the handles showing on the side, not to pick it up yet. And then 11 people from this side. Okay, Sylvia? Okay, those three come. That's, okay, two more. Let's count as we go here. 1, 2, 3, 4... 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. One more from this side. One more. Okay, Carly. There's a handle now, 11 handles. So fill in right here. Right. You can back up just a little bit, Daryl. Go to that. Well, no, don't move yet. We got the handles. You need to be over on that other side. Okay, let me count again so we don't mess this up. We've got one, so I don't mess this up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Oh, there's two here. That's why. We need one more person right here. Okay, perfect. No, we got it. Now there's 11 on this side from that side, and then we'll figure the math. Okay, go all the way to the end. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We might be one. There's 11 on each side. I counted three times. Okay, and one right here. Perfect. Okay, now D is going to go around that side of the altar, so you'll have to let her through. Don't let go of your handles. And D's going to go down the center aisle. And those of you that need to follow her, follow her. Don't let go. We're not going to rip it, okay? So go that way. We're going to stretch it out in a long way this way. Keep going. So now Daryl's going to end up right about here. It's not your grandmother's church. That's right. Okay, so Daryl now, since he's the end point, should be center with D, and the rest of you move down so that you're right across from someone. D, you might want to go just a little more so we don't burn the... That's good. So we don't burn the parachute. That wouldn't be good. All right, now what we're going to do is I need all of you to help. If you are able, if not, you can stay where you are. But I need anybody that is on the back side of D will need to stand and go to the outer aisles. You can leave your things. You can go back where you were. And then everybody else on either side needs to stand and go to the outer aisles. You didn't think you were going to have to move. All right. Hopefully the message is that we have to move when we're about God's business. Okay, so now, Daryl, you should be right in front of D, so you come to the center. All right, so we've got 11 on each side, right? All right, now, those 11 people, if you would make your way into the pews right behind you as best you can so that we can spread out the parachute. You get it? Okay, now you're going to raise it over your head, and everyone is going to get under. Everyone, go ahead and get under. Go ahead. That's why I've got Daryl at this end. Oh, good job. Patrick Baker, yay. All right, everybody under. Nobody left out. Scoot to the center, everybody. Scoot to the center. We've got kids out here. All right, everybody almost in the back. D, is everybody under in the back? All right, scooch on in. Okay. All right, now look around at the people around you and look up at that beautiful parachute. And I want you to pretend that that parachute kind of floats up to the ceiling and then gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then goes outside the walls and into the sky. So you got to really use your imagination so that we're bringing in Sherry and Matt and Andrew and Deborah and everybody that's up in the loft. And all the band and everyone is included. All right? God leaves no one out. No one. Get this image embedded in your brain. And now that you've done your calisthenics for the day, everybody move back out to the outer aisles. Parachute, stay still. We're going to just do the reverse of what we just did. You did it. You did it. Yay. And when everybody is outside, then the handles, the people holding the handles, can go back to the center aisle. And Daryl and Dee will stay tight. All right, and then you'll take it back where it was. And then all of you may take your seats. Yay! Yay! God leaves no one out. So when you were under that parachute, and if you weren't looking up, you may have been able to see the shadows and the colors, but you may have been so caught up in what was going on in your life or in the world that you forgot that God covers you and that God is all around you. If we look up and we can realize that, in every moment of every day, and see the beauty all around us. All around us. So give yourselves a hand. Yeah. A week ago Thursday, many of you joined us here. All were invited. It had been in the leaflets. I don't feel like you were left out. We sent out postcards and all. But we were all here helping Charles and Live Hymnal do a congregation sing for the new album that's coming out for Live Hymnal, which should be soon. And on it are all the songs that we sing at Unplugged. So that's just a little plug for the album. But at the recording session, we were all having a really good time. And we were singing and singing and singing, and Charles was teaching us. And at the very end, still recording, mind you, there's a voice from the back, a gentleman in the center aisle screaming, "Excuse me!" Right in the center aisle. Bedraggled, tall man, looked like he hadn't bathed in a while, pretty shaky. Well, I got out of my seat and I went to the back because I, first of all, was worried about him. Secondly, I didn't want to mess up the recording. So go to the back, go through the doors, take him out there so that we can privately talk. He had a piece of paper in his hand from the Drug Abuse Foundation. He had just gone through detox, but he couldn't be admitted for recovery because they had a waiting list. So they put him on the waiting list and told him he was going to have to come back and to hold tight. And he was scared. He said he had been clean and sober for a while and had fallen off the wagon and had gone to him, was down on his luck, had gone to them and was down on his luck. And could they please do something? And they said they could detox him, but that was all for now. I don't know how long the wait is, but he said He had called his family, he had called friends, and nobody was willing to help him, and he said he could understand that. Because he had burned so many bridges and denied them so many times and broken so many promises that it's very understandable. It would have been enabling for them to continue to help him. He had a cousin, though, that was 18 years in recovery that lived in North Miami. And he said, if I can just get to his house, he said that I could sleep on his couch as long as I stayed clean. And I don't know what it was about the guy. Maybe it was the paper from DAF. Maybe it was something in his eye, but I believed him. He was short $11.40. So I gave him a 20. I don't normally give money to people who are begging. We're creating a card that hopefully we'll have for you in a few weeks of opportunities for people who are homeless and down on their luck for help with phone numbers and ways that they can get help or food or a hot meal. But I don't normally give out money. And I don't know if he went straight to a bottle. I don't know that. Maybe he did. But something tells me he didn't. He was on a bicycle, and I said, what brought you here? Why did you come here all the way from the Drug Abuse Foundation? And he said, well, I kept riding and riding, and I figured a church would help me, but every church that I went to was locked and dark, and I was attracted to the light coming from your building, and I knew you were there. Get that? Attracted to the light. So he came up and he walked in the door, and while he was telling me the story, he was really trying to hold back tears, and his mouth was shaking, and I just believed him. So I'm not sure if the people who were worried about me back there with the guy were happy that I gave him money, but sometimes we have to take chances. Sometimes when our gut tells us, we have to take chances to help people who are different than us. To look up and see that God is all around us, everywhere, present, especially in the eyes of people that we might otherwise look down upon. In our gospel today, it starts out by saying, after Jesus finished saying all these sayings, he entered Capernaum. Well, I wanted to look up what sayings he was talking about, because this is the beginning of chapter 7. So in chapter 6, when I went back, pretty much in one verse, you have a whole plethora of things that Jesus was teaching. And it included, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you, turn the other cheek, give to everyone who begs from you, do to others as you would have them do to you, do not judge, forgive and you will be forgiven. I mean, pretty intense stuff. It's what we remember Jesus for, these teachings, turning the other cheek and loving your enemies, loving your neighbor as yourself. They're hard to do all the time. Hard to do in the reality of life with so many different situations. But that's what Jesus had just taught. And then this Roman centurion sent Jewish elders to approach Jesus because he had a slave back home. Unfortunately, slaves were common in those days. And he loved this slave and was worried about the slave and wanted Jesus to heal the slave. Now, Jesus was a Jew. Romans and Jews just did not mix. They didn't get along with each other. And in fact, they were pretty much enemies. But this Roman centurion saw something in Jesus. Knew something in Jesus, but he wouldn't go to him himself. He didn't feel worthy. He didn't feel worthy. So he sent the Jewish elders. They asked Jesus. Jesus is on his way to their home. And he was stopped by then new messengers from this guy, friends that said, you don't even have to go to the house. He said that he is not worthy for you to even come under his roof. Just say the word and the slave will be healed. And Jesus did, and the slave was healed. You know, I think Jesus was just practicing what he had just preached. I don't think he cared about this guy's worthiness. I don't think he thought, are you worthy? I'm going to think about this before I help you. I don't think it had anything to do with worthiness. Nothing. He reached out and he helped this person that was different than him, and he was healing the slave at the same time. We start with our own self-acceptance in the love of Christ. If we know how deeply we are loved, how deeply, deeply we are regarded, and we get in touch with that relationship with Christ, that relationship with our Creator, we can't help but then want to help others. We just can't help it. It just comes out. And that is the beauty of the gospel. So Jesus asks us to be with ourselves in our scrapes and our bruises and our faults and our horrible habits and our wonderful habits and our gifts and our joys. Just to be in the moment, to be still in the moment. And then from there, like Charles was saying with that song, we're called then to become all that we can be and get busy in this world and help. Just pick one of the things I mentioned in the beginning at the announcements if you don't know what to do. To be. Micah Kavit is our communication manager, and he's here. And yay, Micah. And he recently created a video that is on our website. It's also on YouTube. And it speaks to this very point. And in it, he filmed John Bichette, who's also here. Yay, John. Of Mission Work Dominican Republic fame, who saved us as the carpenter. Get it, carpenter. You got that, right? Let's watch this clip. Yay.
Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be.
Be. Be. And then we're called to be all we can become. And we are loved so much in the process. I have one little exercise for you to do before I close. I want you to think of someone that you have looked down upon in your life. Maybe it was in the past, maybe it's now. I know I have several that I could come to mind. And just think about them for a minute. Just see their faces. As hard as it might be, somebody with whom you have a really difficult time, and that you're very judgmental about them, as we all can be. And then see them as a child of God and send them a blessing. And in our daily lives, when you come across someone with whom you're having trouble, if you can make yourself think of that exercise and just do it in the silence. Even if you have to avoid that person, and believe me, I know situations where we have to avoid people, different people in our lives and different influences. There are those times. But we still can send them a blessing of love, and we are blessed because we've let go of the hate, and we've let go of the judgment, and we're practicing what Jesus preached in reality. And we have Jesus Christ to help us do that. We don't have to do it of our own accord. We have a power so much greater than us to help us. We call upon that and then watch. Amen.